There are thousands of events happening all around us that are looking for speakers. And at Mic Drop Workshop, we want to help events find amazing women speakers like you. We send out a free weekly newsletter with gig opportunities. So join over 200,000 subscribers at micdropworkshop.com/newsletter. Okay, let's get started.
Welcome back to Business on the Bright Side. Today, we're going to go over three ways to make your website accessible. I am so thrilled that my current website, jessekstrom.com, now has 100% score in accessibility rating. And it is all thanks to our guest today, Myrna Deremy. So Myrna is a digital media optimization expert. She calls it DMO expert for short. And she helps small businesses optimize their marketing strategies across all digital platforms and also just like overcome your fear of tech, which I know she's done that for me. So without further ado, let's welcome Myrna.
What's up, everybody? It is Jess Ekstrom, and welcome to Business on the Bright Side, the podcast where you can learn how to make a living and make a difference at the same time. Life is short, and so is my attention span, so let's get started.
All right. So Myrna and I met through, was it Share the Mic Now? That was how we got going?
Share the Mic Now.
Yeah. And little did we know it was going to be love at first sight and that you wouldn't be able to get rid of me.
I told her that she was stuck with me and she was like, no, you're stuck with me.
So yep.
It was agreed.
It was agreed upon, but I've loved the work that you've done in like, people know the term SEO, but you have really coined the term DMO. You want to tell people what DMO is real quick?
Absolutely. So DMO stands for digital media optimization, because in this day and age, it is not just about your website. It's not just about all your digital touch points, like your social media. It's about all of it playing a role in how you can optimize, how someone can connect with you and your business.
And that was something I had no idea about. I was like, oh, I created a pretty website. Like that's enough. Right. But you have taught me not just about like creating a web and mapping out my whole customer journey and where I want people to land, what I want to be known for. Like a lot of people think of tech and they think of like internet speed, you know, but it is more about like the character of who you are and what you want to do.
Yeah. It is the entire journey of someone engaging with you in the digital space. So I call it a holistic approach, because just like with, you know, everything, you can't just think that you can put all eggs in one basket. You pretty much have to look at it all in order to really, really assess and actually be able to diagnose how you're doing, and then also moving forward, what you may need to do in the future. So it's a big deal.
And what you have really stepped into recently, which is why I was like, Myrna, we got to get you on the show, because this is freaking incredible, is digital inclusivity. I mean, the more websites that are out there, the more like more we are on our computers and on our phones, the more just people that we're going to reach. And not everyone is going to have those same capabilities of reading small text on our website, or if you have a flashing logo that's animated, like what that might do to some people. So tell us a little bit about what is digital inclusivity and how did you get started? And then we'll get into some tips of how our listeners can do the same.
Of course. So digital inclusivity is another one of those coin phrases that I've kind of come up with. Actually, Jess, you helped me with that. In just understanding the current climate we're in today's day and age, because with all of the talk about diversity and inclusion and people wanting to have a business that's representative of a lot of different people, there's another aspect to this called accessibility. And I think people tend to not realize that you also not only need to be inclusive and diverse, but you also want to make sure that your website and your web presence is accessible to anyone, someone who has any vision impairment or hearing, hard of hearing, or any type of hearing loss, people who have cognitive abilities, and even people who have mobility issues. So you want to make sure that you're able to not just reach and interact and engage with people who are outside of your demographic and are more diverse than you, but you also want to make sure that you're more accessible to everyone so that people can access the information you're putting out on the web.
And I was so glad that you and I connected when I was at a crossroads with my website, where I was leaving my original website, creating my new jessekstrom.com and having my podcast website, because I felt like, you know, meeting you then, we were kind of at ground zero to creating something, and I could think about, you know, accessibility, but you also, we'll get to this a little bit later, have a tool that really can help with accessibility. But, you know, for people who are just getting started, they have a website, a blog, contact page, whatever it might be, a podcast page. Let's get into three ways that people can make sure that their website is accessible, because it was something that I never really thought of until we had a few emails from people who were either hard of hearing that that needed information that they weren't able to get, where I was like, oh my gosh, we need to do something about this. So step one, you say, is run a test. So how would someone run a test to make sure that they are ADA compliant? And also, what is ADA compliance?
Yeah, we didn't talk about the thing ADA.
Yeah.
So ADA compliance is actually something that was created. It was an act created in 1990, which was more deemed toward public physical accommodation spaces, right? So this might be the time when you started to see all the handicapped accessible parking lots, you know, being filled up with parkings to be there, or buildings having ramps, because they wanted to make sure that people with any disabilities, more physical though, were able to be accommodated for. But you fast forward to today, and especially after the pandemic, the question of public accommodation became very, very gray, because people were not able to go to physical spaces anymore. So now the only place that they could actually interact or engage with any type of business was online. So it kind of ramped up the whole concept of what ADA compliance means in the digital space. So today, as a matter of fact, you know, what's happened is recently there's been some upgrades and some guidelines, and those guidelines are more geared toward making websites more accessible. And so people have gotten, I guess, more wind of it. And so that's why accessibility is becoming now a thing and people need to pay attention to it.
So what, when we think about accessibility, you know, I would say, like you were saying, the old school way of thinking about it is like, is there a wheelchair ramp and can everyone physically get from one location to the other?
Right.
What are some disabilities that from a digital standpoint, we should be thinking about? Like, for example, I was on TikTok the other day, and as I was scrolling, there was like a trigger warning that, you know, that this next video has a lot of like flashing lights that could cause seizures. And so they gave you a heads up before you kept scrolling. And I was like, oh, that's really great. I didn't even know that, you know, was something that people needed to look out for. So what are those things?
So basically it comes down to, of course, you have the physical. If someone's, you know, may not have mobility for a mouse or their fingers to move, or they may not even have an arm to actually like utilize to actually click on anything, there's that, obviously. But there's also, and this is, I think, the big one people really identify with, if someone is hearing impaired or hard of hearing versus someone who has loss of vision, who's someone deemed as blind, those are the obvious ones. But then you also have people who maybe have ADHD, where, you know, they need focal points. There may be someone, to your point, who may have or suffer from epileptic seizures, which is if they have a lot of moving or lights going on, it could trigger that. There's also people who may have difficulty in understanding words or text with dysgraphia, so that they see words in a different way. So there's so many other impairments/disabilities that I think people aren't aware of that are more cognitive related. They're more invisible. And I think those are the ones, when it comes to the digital space, we need to be a lot more accommodating for and be aware of.
I love it. That's great information.
Have you ever wanted to guest on more podcasts? As a speaker, it's an easy way to practice your talking points and figure out what works, all while expanding your reach to already existing audiences. Go to podcastally.com and use the promo code AMPLIFY for 10% off their podcast guesting service. That's podcastally.com, promo code AMPLIFY. Need a boost to start your week? Every Monday, I send out hype text as some food for thought for your week. Text me the word hype to 704-228-9495. That's the word hype to 704-228-9495. P.S. I actually read these texts and try to respond when I can. So tell me what you think of this podcast.
And so how would someone, step one of three ways to make your site accessible, how would someone be able to run a test on this?
There are several tests out there that are free. There's companies like Wave, there's a company Ace, there's another one that's called Site Improve. They test your website and they literally like run your site to through the test. Because in these guidelines that were created for the web for ADA compliance, there's about 30 to 35 of them that are deemed like the ones that they check off to see whether or not your site is ADA compliant. They go through that test and it'll give you like a score. I do say that with those tests, they're about 25% accurate in that they're not counting all of the issues, of course, but they at least give you a gauger and a starting point to know like if there's something like that's really off and you need to pay attention to it.
And what should we be aiming for? Should the expectation for anyone with a website out there be 100%? You know, like are you like, okay, I'll get a pass fail. Like I'll get by with a C, or should you be like, no, I need to get an A on this accessibility test.
I know it's crazy because this is still like shades of gray because it's not requirement yet. So every state has its own regulations, but there's levels to ADA compliance. There's like level A, AA, and AAA, AAA. AA, which is the middle ground, double A, there's about 38 requirements that are required for you to be what's called industry standard. So that's like the happy medium. I would say that's a goal to kind of go for that. Because if you're trying to go to AAA, that means that you're like full safe, like 100%, more like a federal government type of body or website. But middle ground is always good.
Okay, so run a test, and you said Wave, Site Improve, and what was the other one you said?
Ace.
Okay. That those are all free resources. We'll put those in the show notes on businessonthebrightside.com. So step two is really, you said, working with your web designer or developer to kind of go through and audit your site, maybe use what you learned from that test and see where you can improve, or tell us a little bit about what we should do next.
Exactly. Because those tests are going to show to you areas of improvement for sure. Like for example, I've seen this a lot where companies who have very light colored brands, like they're very pale or like muted, those companies may have issues because the contrast in color may deem itself not visible from someone who's colorblind. So that's a clear indication where you can go to your website designer or developer and be like, honestly, we may need to reconsider how we're branding myself and change the colors a little bit. So it could be something to that effect, or it could be something, you know, more detailed where, say, for example, your fonts are very scripty on your website, but you want to make sure they're more legible. So those are like simple changes you can do with your website developer or designer to make your site more accessible. From there, though, it can get, you know, depending on, you know, if you have a lot of movement on your website, you may want to think about eliminating some of that.
Yeah. Are there any like no-fly zone colors that we should stay away from, you know?
So it's sad, but pinks, especially blush pinks. I know a lot of my creative entrepreneurs, those colors, because those are the ones that people can't see. If you've ever thought about it, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all the social media touch platforms and touch points, they all utilize the color blue because that is the one color that throughout the spectrum, people can actually see the variance of color.
Wow. I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. That is so true. So no pinks, blues, but I want girl power. We don't want.
Oh, exactly. If you do use pink, you just got to make sure that it's very vibrant or at least there's some contrast in it. Yeah.
And then you have a checklist for your website too, right?
Exactly.
That people can use. So where can people find that checklist?
So they can actually go to my website and download it or email me as well. That's another way.
We'll put it in, again, a link to your website with a checklist in the show notes, businessonthebrightside.com. You guys can find this show, three ways to make your website accessible. So, okay. Step one, run a test. We have those free services. Step two, meet with your designer or developer, or if that's you, you know, you might like now there's so many plug and play, site builders out there that you might be able to go through and make some of these recommended changes yourself by using the free test and Myrna's checklist. But step three, I'm really excited about because this is something that Myrna helped me do and that I was one of your, was I one of your first customers for this?
Yeah, you were one of my betas. Yes.
So This is called Active ADA. And if you go to my website, jessekstrom.com, and I believe it's also on Business on the Bright Side, you can see that widget in the bottom left-hand corner. And Myrna, why don't you tell us about this widget? Because I am obsessed.
Yeah, I love it too. It's a little lifesaver that you're looking for. It looks literally like a lifesaver. The goal of this thing and what it is it's an overlay that sits on top of your website that allows for anyone visiting your website to be met where they are. And what I mean by that is it allows for them to have the ability to check off areas that they may want assistance with, whether it is that your fonts are too small, they want to enlarge your fonts, whether it is that they want a more focal area because they're ADHD prone, there's a focal bar that'll come through and allow for them to focus. If they wanted so that the fonts could be changed so that they're more legible, it will do that as well. It also works very well with screen readers, which is what blind people utilize in order to interpret what the website is about. So it's pretty amazing. And again, it meets them where they are. So it's not like you're sitting there trying to manipulate your website to kind of meet their accessibility needs. They are doing it. And so it's giving them that freedom to choose. And that's why I love it so much.
It is seriously incredible. I mean, the moment you embedded it on our site, and well, I'll tell a little bit about the journey that I did with you, because we didn't start with the plugin. We started with SEO and kind of optimizing my site. Why was that important to do first before you install the Active ADA plugin? And like, how do you suggest people go about doing this? And what is it that you offer that can help?
Yeah. So yeah, first things first, what we did was we took care of Jess's DigiHome. And what I mean by that is in order for the search engines to connect the dots and actually have people visit her site on a more frequent basis because they are showing you come up in search engines, there are some things and some tactics that we needed to do in order to optimize your site so that you would show up in a ranking of 1, 2, 3 and so forth so people could find you.
Which I was blown away by, because like you said one time, you were like, people spend hours on one Instagram post that like has a lifetime of an hour. You know, if people spent that same amount of time crafting their Instagram as what they put into SEO, like the amount of traffic that you'll get is 10x, which is amazing. Yeah.
It's the gift that keeps on giving. It is the one converter that will convert for you for years to come, as opposed to like a viral post that you may post on some social media platform. You know, I can't say enough about SEO and how important it is, because at the end of the day, it is the end all be all, because someone seeing you pop up in a search result will give you so much more cred than any post will. So I'm all about SEO. And that's kind of been something that I've been preaching about for years.
When Headbands of Hope made it to page one of like, if someone searched headbands or whatever, we were like, we made it. Like, we're on the first page of Google. And I think I used to like rank on the first page for like college speakers or something like that, where I was like, oh, hell yeah. So yeah.
And it's like that instant gratification of conversion. Like, people automatically trust it and they will click on you. So yeah, that's why I think SEO is still so important. And people are still like, how do I get to page one on Google?
Yeah, totally. Well, okay. So if everyone who's listening, you can go to my site, jessekstrom.com, and check out this widget in the bottom left, play with it. It's really cool. And you just sent me my certificate that I am ADA compliant.
Correct. Because the test will test for, like I said, those 30 to 38, 35 requirements.
Yeah.
And you passed all of those. So.
Woo! And we'll put a link also in the show notes of this episode if you guys want to learn more about working with Myrna and installing the Active ADA plugin on your site. But I suggest you do, you know, a holistic audit of your site. So not just in terms of accessibility, but like, where do you want people to meet you? Keywords, search terms. I mean, just even thinking about like, what would you want someone to put in the search bar to land on your page? Like, you asked me that, Myrna, and I was like, oh shit, I don't even know. That's I've been doing this for years. And I was like, what? Yeah. What are people searching for to find me? Yeah.
It's crazy. People don't even think about that. But yeah, I tell people all the time, think about your buyer's journey and think about it from the point of when they don't even know you exist yet, what are they searching for? When they have a clue and they're just like, interest, and they start searching for you. And then when they actually have a little bit more experience in your craft and see what they're searching for there too. So it's like a three-step process because you want to kind of fill all of those. Because again, the goal is meeting people where they are.
So. I love that. So, okay, just to recap this episode, three ways to make your website accessible. One, run a test. And we have those free testing sites on businessonthebrightside.com. Two, work with your designer or your developer or yourself to go through your website and see where there can be improvements. And you can also use Myrna's checklist, which we'll link to in the show notes as well. And three, if you want to go big, which I highly suggest, is getting Myrna's Active ADA plugin that really optimizes your entire website, which I have on my website. But Myrna, what's like any parting words, one thing that people should think about as they step into just getting more visibility, but in an accessible and inclusive way?
So I think if I could leave with like parting words, I would say, look, in order to accomplish DML, which is digital media optimization, you want to be the most optimized as possible. You not only have to consider how diverse you are, how inclusive you are, but also how accessible you are in order to really, really make an impact.
I love it. And where can people find you, Myrna?
You can find me at Myrna P. Jarami pretty much everywhere online.
I'd be disappointed if the digital optimization specialist was not everywhere online. They're like, if you were just like, actually, I don't have a website, I'd be like, what?
Yeah, there we go.
Awesome.
Be at the door.
Thanks, Myrna.
Thank you so much, honey.
Thanks for listening to Business on the Bright Side with Jess Ekstrom. I love to send out the episodes every Monday with a quick text and a quote from me. So text me the word podcast to 704-228-9495. That's 704-228-9495. And if you want to see what the show notes are from this episode, head to businessonthebrightside.com, hit subscribe here, write a review, and I'll see you on Monday.